It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you this Saturday. Every Saturday, tell a friend, say, listen to those strange fellas on the radio on Saturday morning if you're up. In the studio, well within striking distance, my co-host, one of the best fishermen to ever walk the planet Earth, Mark Tobin.
It's amazing how I vary.
Is it?
In greatness from week to week, yeah.
Well, it's probably at the pinnacle. So from here on out, you'll probably go,
No. And I'm not even close. There's so many better fishermen out there than me.
Well, a lot of good fishermen in there.
Yeah.
There really, really is. Unbelievable.
I was a little distracted. I got a text from Greg Thompson. He handles our Facebook page, and he wanted to know if our guest today has a Facebook page, and I don't know.
We'll have to ask her.
Yeah.
That's pretty simple. Who is our guest?
It's who I refer to affectionately as Mother Mushroom, Teresa Maybrier. Queen Mushroom.
Queen Mushroom.
Yes.
The queen of the forest.
Right.
Or she puts on one of those little outfits as she goes through, you know, like a ballerina and goes through the woods with her magic wand, do you think? And
I'm not sure.
Jumping
but I
from stump to stump.
I've heard her husband is a fun guy.
Oh, really?
Fun guy. Fungus.
Too early. Went by me.
But Greg, if you are listening, the name of their company is Team Morel. But I'll ask her because he wanted to post it up there on our Facebook page.
We come a little bit saddened this morning. Jimmy Houston's wife is very, very ill. Had a massive stroke, it sounds like to me. Mm-hmm. Paralyzed on the right side. It was my get feedback on the thing. Have you heard any more about it?
No, other than she was sitting up, still wasn't able to talk. And I sent well wishes to Jimmy, and he got right back to me and said he appreciated us. And he's just such a class act.
Yes.
I mean, who am I in the scheme of things with him? I mean,
he's a wonderful person.
Yeah, but he takes the time to respond to everybody.
Yeah,
and you just don't wish this on anybody, but especially such down to earth, great people. I mean,
wonderful
both of
people.
Them are just super.
Can't say enough good things about them.
Nope,
they're just the state of the art on the deal, and the greatest pecan factory in America.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah, yeah, right. You know, Twin Eagles, I think he calls the pecan farm.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, if you want the best pecans on the planet, they're never frozen. Of course, that season doesn't happen until fall, and hopefully things will get better for Jimmy, and we can have him back on in the fall and talk about pecans.
But get a rough idea how old Jimmy is. He's getting a little long in the tooth.
Yeah, I think he's 73.
Three?
Mm-hmm.
You think you're probably accurate, huh?
Yeah,
because
I know.
Older than that.
Well, he's 73, 74, but I was. You know, it was just 2 or 3 years ago that I saw him down at the Bass Pro Shop. They had and maybe it's longer than that now. You know, time just kind of flies. But they opened up the aquarium down there, and Jimmy and Bill Dance and Roland Martin were all down receiving a conservation award. And I got to talk to him down there, and he was just turning 70 then.
No.
He was the youngest of the three.
The youngest of the three. Mm-hmm. Did they see Mark Tobin enter the room and they bask in your aura? Did they all drop what they were doing and ran and hugged you and kissed you dearly?
Not quite like that.
Not like that. Did they know who the hell you were?
Jimmy did. But Bill and Roland didn't. But
yeah.
Roland did remember doing the show with us. And
really?
Yeah.
I'll be done.
He looks great, Roland does. Bill's aged.
Well, Bill's long in the tooth.
Yeah, I think he's 76 now. 70, yeah, he's probably 76, maybe 77.
I'm not real sure, yeah. But, you know, he's been out in too much sun.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all it amounts to. See, I look at that. You know, I had cut a nickel size, quarter size off of me the other day. Just too much sun. You go out fishing all the time. You're out in the sun, mowing your grass, whatever, you know.
You've had a few spots, haven't you?
Yeah, and I've had them removed, and this was the biggest one, but it hurts. Oh, ow! And you try to act like you're not hurting, you know. They deaden it and all that stuff, and I was trying to tell them jokes and trying to make them laugh.
Well, that's when we need a camera in here. When you said it hurts, you had such a sad puppy dog look face, you poor thing.
Ow! Owie, owie! You know, I said, what do you want to pick on this old man for? That's all. They didn't bother. You know, just got a razor blade out and started whacking on me. No remorse. They were giggling sometimes. I don't know.
I could probably take a little pleasure in doing that.
Yeah, I would think so.
To you.
Know. I think women would like to cut on men more than we relate to.
Yeah, that's probably true.
We also had a nice lady joined us on Facebook in regards to Andy Cantrell, our turkey guy, Paying the Dues was the name of the book we had on. I think she went to order it for her nephew or something on a deal. And Andy was pleasantly surprised with a response off of that book. And then Eddie Salter, how many world champions? You read the deal. What, it was two or three world champions or something?
Two-time world champion. He's won state calling championships all over the place.
Yeah. You know, the guy is phenomenal.
Yeah. As good as it gets, Rick.
And this Black Shadow turkey call, there is nothing else like it on the market.
Is that what is in your mouth right
now? Yeah, it's in my mouth right now. You thought it was tobacco, didn't you? It's a Black Shadow turkey call. And here's the thing about this call is that the frame is a little bit different, the tape's a little bit different, but you can drop your jaw calling, or you can keep your lips close together, and you can make so many different octaves off of that Black Shadow turkey call. If you can get your hands on one, they're $9.95, I think, on his website. There's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's revolutionized diaphragm turkey calling. It's just a different mousetrap. It's got all these weird cuts in it, and kind of a, almost like a V cut, you know, V as in victory. And it's just got that. I walk through the woods getting alarm cuts. You know. Like that all the time. And the reason I do that is you listen, and you know the turkeys are gregarious. They literally want to be around. This is the first time they break up in the spring. They're not around each other, and you'll hear the response back. It's almost identical to that, and sit down. You know, find you a tree, sit down. I'm amazed. You know, I've been hunting these turkeys since, I guess, back in the or whenever we got first turkeys. You know, 30, 40 years of turkey hunting. People that get up and walk around the woods. Turkeys see 10 times better than we do.
Yeah, right. Bad.
Don't move. Get in there and sit down. Have confidence in your place. You know, if you have to, put up some netting in front of you or take some pruning shears and build you a little makeshift blind. Sit down. Be still. And just have confidence that sooner or later, one of them birds is going to turn around and come back. If he's gobbled to you, sometime that day, he's coming back in that area. I will guarantee you. And, you know, especially today is opening day for the kids in Missouri. You know, have fun with kids. I feel sorry for them because of the storm coming through here. It'd still be good turkey hunting, you know. And just sit down, take some Twinkies and Ho-Hos and junk food, and don't make a big deal out of it, you know. And if they want to go home, take them home. It's pretty simple on the deal. But make it a party for them. Now, me, I take a shot of whiskey and a Cuban cigar, but what the hey, I'm different, you know. Hey, I got a new doctor. Did I tell you about this?
No.
Dr. Evers. Dr. Evers, finally, after all these years, I found a doctor that I can relate to. His answer to everything is a shot of Jack Daniels and a good Cuban cigar.
That sounds good. I'll take that kind of
he
shot.
He recommends 3 Cubans a day and almost a quart. I just love this guy.
How old is he now?
Oh, he's only 28 years old. But this year, I'm his first patient. But I don't know how many doctors, and I kept talking to him. I said, what about this? But no, don't be drinking. Don't be smoking. Finally got to him. He said, you're too old. He said, drink some whiskey and smoke some cigars and giggle.
Well, my mom just turned 95 last week, and one of the reasons that she's had such a long life, she's a big believer in vitamins, especially vitamin C. And she has vitamin C every night with a glass of a wine cooler. A berry wine cooler mixed with vitamin C. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I had a good friend of mine that would take a shot of Jack at night. Or if he didn't, sometimes he took apple cider, took a shot of apple cider when he went to bed.
My wife drinks apple cider.
And he, of course, it finally killed him at 90-something, and he was running the Boston Marathon or something, you know. I mean, that was just crazy, one of those guys you hear about, you know. But, it lies pretty simple. You know what's wrong to me, in my brief knowledge, which is not much? Quit looking at me like that. Why'd you start smiling for when I talk about knowledge?
I could agree that you have brief knowledge.
Brief knowledge. Right. We're too stressed out.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And that stress can affect you in a whole lot of ways.
And too self-centered. You know, it's not about you. It's about your surrounding people. Be nice to everybody. Try to. You know, I turn on the news in the morning and have a cup of coffee and sit there without my first cigar. And I'm always amazed at the violence, you know, in Kansas City or St. Joe or St. Louis. Or
maybe it's just because we have more outlets to hear news, but it sure seems like it's a lot different now than it used to be.
Well, I always wonder, why do you want to hurt somebody?
Yeah.
I've never figured that out. Why would you be so mad that you want to take a baseball bat and beat somebody to death?
Does not compute, not to me. But Greg Thompson we've been texting back and forth, and wants us to say good morning to June Hauer and her husband. He says that they listen to us all the time. So good morning, June. I hope you and your husband are awake and you didn't miss this, but thank you for getting up and listening to us.
Would she be in relation to June Lockhart?
I don't know. I doubt.
How many Junes do you know in your life?
I know June Hauer, but the only other Junes I know are June Bugs.
June Bugs.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a June Mart. I knew a June. I can't remember her last name. June is kind of, is that an unusual name or is it just me?
I think it is. I'd have to say so.
You don't hear too many Junes anymore.
No.
Them days
are over. I wonder if there's very many Junes that were born in June.
This is true. You know, and then the old name was Mildred.
Yeah.
There was an awful lot of Mildreds around at one time. But I think
and
they're about
Opals.
What's the strangest name you've ever heard, Mark?
Fred Ramsey or Durf Nasmar.
Durf Nasmar. That's Fred Ramsey spelled backwards.
Right. I'm Cram Nibbot.
Have we figured out Blake yet? It'd be something REDEE. How would we do this? Reasoner? Would that be Blake?
Do you know what it is, Blake?
He don't know. He's
trying to figure it out right now.
Yeah. Greg just texted me again that June bought, I take it was the mushroom book from Teresa Maybriar for her 15-year-old grandson.
Well, that's the guy that bought the book from Andy Cantrell.
Oh, okay. That's who it was.
Yeah, okay. Paying Your Dues.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Great book. And I gave him a phone number, and I don't know why Greg didn't. He's such a nice guy. He was being too sensitive, and he wouldn't pass on the phone number to him. I finally, late last night, said, give him the phone number. I'd love to talk to him. He's a retired school teacher and just a great guy. Going to be up this way hunting here pretty quick. What is your – how's it spelled backwards?
So my last name is Schneiders. So my name would be Ekelb Srednich. Ekelb, what is it? It's Ekelb Srednich. Srednich.
I like that. Ekel.
I'm definitely a foreign fella at that point.
Well,
so.
You sound like you're from Russia.
Ekelb.
I like that better than Blake Snyder's.
Yeah.
I do, too.
I think we're going to change it.
I think maybe we ought to. Let's take some legal action here and change it.
This is Fred and Mark with Ekelb.
Yeah. We got to take a break. We got to quit this nonsense. We got to talk a little fish when we come back, and then we're going to have the Mushroom Queen on.
Oh, you know, you should also, since this is youth season, tell your turkey story.
Yeah, this is, we probably should.
Even though it's serious, and I know we like to laugh.
I don't want to scare any of the kids.
No, but it's good information.
I understand. We'll talk about that a little bit. We're brought to you by King City Lumber, kingcitylumber.com. If you've not been to their website, you're the last person on the face of the earth that has not been there. Please go by and enjoy their website. If you guys are thinking about an outbuilding, a garage, a place for your horsey, a place for your combine, a place you want to add on to your house, these guys can do it all. They're master craftsmen. They're the best humans I've known for years and years and years and years, and I mean that from my heart. You're going to love doing business with them. They will not leave the job until you're 110% satisfied. And if you got a problem later, call them. They'll come back and fix it. I guarantee you. They are unbelievable, but I doubt if you'll ever have another problem unless the ground settles or something like that. But I just love these people. KingCityLumber.com. Martin Money Tunks. Good humans, as we say. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Blake Schneider is our producer, and I'd like to pronounce his name backwards, but I'll work on that in the next break, and we'll see. Make him giggle a little bit. Kind of an odd sounding. Didn't you like that? I kind of liked that.
I like it better.
I like it better than Durf. Well, Durf is kind of strange, too, isn't it?
Yeah, so is Cram.
Yeah, Durf Yasmar.
That sounds like a character out of Star Wars or Star Trek.
It does, doesn't
Durf.
It?
Durf.
What was yours now? How do you spell it?
Cram Nibbot.
Cram Nibbot.
Yeah, they both do.
That's okay. What the heck?
Maybe that's how they come up with some of the names in Star Wars.
Might be.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
That sounds real.
Jake. Yeah. That's a Jake. You don't really want a Jake call, but what the hey? You know, sometimes you can Jake call, and the old gobbler's kind of guy, he thinks, well, I'll go over and kick his butt. And they fight like crazy, you know. And if you Jake yelp out of every once in a while, oh, it infuriates them. Kind of like when I came out of the bar one time at 2 o'clock in the morning, I called. I better not go down that road. I don't want to do that. Back in my glory days, weird days, strange days. Now we need to probably, we do this once a year, so we'll just do this one time. I tell this story. When we were doing the American Outdoorsman and we had the Chevrolet truck with the American Outdoorsman on the side of it and all that stuff, I was over by Cameron, Missouri, and I'd been turkey hunting there east of Cameron. And I was stopped at the gas station, and a farmer came by. You could tell his farmer, it was a bell spike on the back of a truck and two people in the truck. And so I saw him point at me as they went by, which is not unusual. At least it wasn't the wrong digit.
Yeah, right.
So I'm turning around. Here they came back. And so I got talking to him. He said, you guys did this TV show? And I said, yeah. And he said, I wanted to come back and thank you. And I said, thank me for what? And he said, you don't understand what I went through in my life. And I said, what happened? And he said, me and my uncle here, that's my uncle here. And he said, we were out turkey hunting. He was on one ridge. I was supposed to be on the other ridge. We had turkey gobbling. It was a tough season. Wasn't very many birds like it is this year. And just not very many birds. And he said this gobbler kept gobbling and over there where I was at. And my uncle wanted to kill a bird pretty bad. So he slipped over there beside me and sat down. Well, it was so green and dark, he said, I didn't know he was even around. You know, that's the scary part of turkey hunting. You know, when you're only allowed to pull the trigger when you see the beard in front of the turkey. So he said, I'm sitting there, and the turkey gobbles right to my right. And he said, I'm talking close. And he said, I turned around, and I looked, and I saw the turkey's head, red, white, and blue. So I eased around the tree, and I snapped off the safety, and the turkey gobbled again, and I took aim. And I remember you saying on one of your shows, you can only pull the trigger when you see the beard on the front of the wild turkey. Well, that red, white, and blue was the top of tube socks. The guy had sat down, and he had them on, his pants had come up.
The turkey started smoking?
Turkey started smoking. And he heard him light up, or saw him light up a cigarette, or heard him one to the other. And he said, you don't understand how close I come to killing him. He just shot his foot off at that close range.
Yeah, he said that you saved his life. And
yeah.
He said, how did I do that?
Yeah, he said, you saved my life. I said, you mean we saved your uncle's life? And he said, no, I would have killed myself if I'd have killed him. We're that close. And he said, I want to give you a hug. Anyway, it was kind of an emotional time for me. Mm. So there will be somebody shot during turkey season, invariably. Generally, as a rule, it's when you're around the truck, unloading your gun, crossing a fence type thing. But please be careful out there. It's a greatest sport in America. I don't know which I like better. Bugling a bull elk is cool because there's a massiveness of them. Also, you know, hunting wild turkeys or a brace of mallards come around a decoy still gets my heart going. But, boy, you know, it's just such a great sport. So please be careful while you're out there. That's the moral of this thing. I did the interview one time for the guy who had actually shot and killed a guy. And I cried. He cried. His wife cried. Everybody in the room cried. We broke down so hard. It was just unbelievable. And we filmed it. And the film magically got destroyed. But I don't know why they did that. But thought it was too abrasive, I think, at the time. Yeah, but, you know, we're getting better. These people that use these fans and crawl up behind turkeys.
Don't understand that.
That is the dumbest thing. And I watch Outdoor Channel the other night, and here's this guy crawling down across the pasture with this fan up. And, I mean, golly.
It's an accident waiting to happen.
Oh, please don't do that. I'm mad at the people that build those and sell them. They have the right to. I don't agree with it. But I'm tell you, that is... And generally, as a rule, these accidents are on farms. Well, nobody else is supposed to be in there.
Yeah.
Well, something happens to a good man when he hears a turkey gobble. And away he goes, you know. And he's going to cross that fence or do something on Grandpa's farm that no one's ever trespassed on. And, you know, sit down against a tree that's wider than your shoulders. And that way, if someone does bark at you, he might absorb some of the shot away from you on the deal. But stay away from wearing red, white, and blue. If you mushroom hunters during the spring turkey season, you know, I wouldn't go until 1 o'clock. Season's over at 1. You know, if you're going to go out there in the early in the morning, don't wear red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
Then I've had that incident, too, where a lady, two ladies walked up on me. I had a bird goblin right in front of me. Couldn't see him. I saw the movement. They don't red, white, and blue. But, you know, I just, and I told them about it, too. I got up and I walked over there and I said, man, I tell you what, you don't understand. You know, I've been around a little bit. And I, not that I couldn't have an accident. I'm probably more leading edge, too. But you don't walk through the woods like this. Please, please don't do that. You probably got grandkids you need to raise and things like that. People will shoot you.
Unfortunately. You remember a little bit too excited.
You remember the story with Bob Lockett?
Oh, yeah.
You shot?
Yeah, amazing. He's alive.
Wearing a orange sweater around his neck, walking through the woods, whistling.
Yeah.
And a guy stands up, and the guy he was hunting with shot him.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I mean, my goodness. You got to have an IQ test, you know, before you go turkey hunting, I think. And if it wouldn't have been for Life Flight, just happened to be going over. He'd have bled to death.
Yep.
And what was it? Several years later, he still picked buckshot out of him.
Yeah, right.
It was just, he was overshaven, and a piece of buckshot fell out in the sink or something, you know, on the deal. So, and you are just as bad as anybody else. I've seen you flay crappie while they were still alive.
No, I don't.
You don't? You beat him in the head?
I bop him on the head.
Can you believe that story I just told you off the air?
That's ridiculous. But turkey hunting, real quick, Greg Thompson posted on our Facebook page, if anybody is interested in that black shadow call from Eddie Salter, there's a link to that Facebook page, which is Midwest Outdoor Sports Radio 810 WHB. And thank you, Greg.
They are not. They're like hen's teeth, and... I had one guy I had three different people call me and said $9.95 was too much money.
Really?
And I said they're priceless. Quit thinking about money when you got a turkey call like this. It's unbelievable. And they'll last for years if you'll put them away in the freezer after season's over, you know, and that kind of thing. Put them in a plastic bag and put them away. But gee whiz, there's something unique about this call. There's just something different about it. He told me, he said when he hit it, he said he just couldn't believe it. And it looks like a lot of the others on the market, but it's not. Frame's different, tape's different, it's just different on the deal. So it's quite a deal.
You know.
Blow the dam at Truman.
Catching, there was white bass showing up there. Crappie had been a lot of crappie being caught, and still an occasional walleye here and there. So it's good. If and the lake's about 7 foot high right now, and They're not dumping. Well, the release rate is varying, and the days when they're dumping that 50,000 CFS is making it tough. But other than that, yeah.
Are the hybrids up there?
There are a few being caught. Yep, absolutely. Just now starting to show up some. And up on the lake, I was kind of surprised talking to Richard Bowling last night. If you need a guide on Truman, Richard is just great. And he's catching a lot of crappie. But the crappie in the lake has been up and down now.
Yeah.
It was up 17 feet high a couple of weeks ago, and now it's 7 foot high. So, but Palm de Terre and Stockton are still high, and they're dumping a lot of water into Truman. So it's going to be running water for a long time. But now there are fish that are moving into the banks right now, and you can put a bobber on a foot deep and catch catch quite a few, but they're mostly the males. Males up there, no females. And he's still catching fish out in 20 foot of water. And these are the bigger females. 20 foot of water and
the bigger females
down.
Not getting ready yet.
Nope. but the interesting thing, they're down anywhere from 10 foot to 2 foot. Just 2 foot under the water and 20 foot, well, 2 foot deep and 20 foot.
What's that tell you?
They're just moving, following their shad around. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you he's live scoping fish, and he'll take clients out, and he'll have two at a time, and he only allows one to use the live scope. And he'll let them catch anywhere one, two, or three, five, and then they'll switch. But there, he's looking for these individuals, you know, one fish. Every now and then he said you'll see two or three. But that's it. And they just use the live scope to target that one or two fish. And, I mean, he catches them. I mean, they had a two-man limit in an hour and a half yesterday.
Whoa.
30 fish in an
hour
and a half.
What's the limit?
15.
15.
Yeah. So that's good. And on the Kansas side, I'm still hearing that there's a lot of people fishing the dams. And
are
nobody
the walleye coming up on the dams, spawning?
Yeah, right.
That's what's going on,
yeah.
Huh?
Nobody's talking about catching, which, you know, walleye fishermen are very tight-lipped. But you're seeing people out on the dams. Yeah, they ain't there for their health.
Yeah, they're catching some rays, drinking some wine,
right.
Eating some cheese. They're not hanging out. And they're not chilling.
No. And I talked to Vic Ertley on Milford, and nothing, the hybrids are not showing up. And he said people usually don't start really trying for them until about May. But he says he thinks what happens is they make a spawn and run. Even though they don't spawn, they go up the river.
They think they do.
Yeah. And he just thinks that people make a mistake not really trying the north end of the
reservoir.
Did
you ever do a spawning run you thought you did and you really didn't work in your life?
It was later on in life when
later
I made my
spawning
run. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was false runs early.
Hey, how's my good friend Joe Falco?
Fantastically. In fact, I just was out there this week, and they've still got a lot of kayaks out there. And you got to check. It's the Jackson Kayaks. And if you're into fishing, they're the best. I mean, they're more stable than anything. But they've got this one. It looks like a little catamaran. And, you know, for those of us that are not as agile as we used to be, that would be me. This catamaran style, you just step down and sit on it rather than having to climb down into it. So, but it's they're so awesome. But so yeah, check the Jackson Kayaks out there. But the other thing is I just can't say enough good things about Dave Hemme. He's the mechanic out there. And you got to be some kind of contortionist to work on some of these boats. I mean, they do not make boats that are easy to work on. And I don't know how he does. I don't know how he has the patience to work on boats like he does. But I'm telling you, there's just not a better mechanic. When you have problems, because if you have a boat, it's not if you're going to have problems. It's when you're going to have problems. When you do, just keep Sportsman's Outfitter in mind. They're a great bunch of people, and they'll take care of you.
Yeah, my wife and me took my starter off of my boat this week.
Oh, that's not a good idea.
Well, we ordered a new one, so we'll just see on the deal. So we might get the
I'll tell Joe to expect you.
Yeah, expect me. But I don't think he'll want to work on that junker I got. You know, an old Johnson 88. It's 110 horsepower. He'd probably laugh and snicker.
That's a riverboat.
It is. It's what it is. I'm going to sell that boat. If anybody's interested, I'm going to sell that boat. That's a good little boat. So what the hey. Also, before we've got to take this break. We're going to have to freeze. I'm sorry. We're running late. SARS, the red pistol. You saw it on the website, SARUSA.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. That is so gorgeous.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's one of the coolest guns I've ever seen. Prettiest guns I've ever seen.
And I don't know how you're going to get one.
It'd be worth the wait on that
gun. And longer barrel, different deal completely. The response off of that pistol is off the chart. That people are learning more and more and more about this pistol line. They can't even believe it. You know, it's just ballistic. I love SARS pistols. I can't when I start shooting them, I can't quit. I've learned now just to take, you know, 40, 50 rounds with me. Because if I have 100, I'll shoot it. If I've got 200, I'll shoot them. I can't quit. It's the most addictive gun I've ever shot in my entire life. And I'm not a pistol person. They scare me to death. But that gun, something about the feel, the trigger, this, you know, golly, just go look. S-A-R-U-S-A. Teresa's going to be our guest.
Mother Mushroom.
We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with you.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm Mark Tobin along with Waterfowler Hall of Famer, Mr. Fred Ramsey. And joining us on the phone, the Queen of Mushrooms. I affectionately refer to her as Mother Mushroom. She is Teresa Maybrier. Teresa, how are you doing?
I am just great this morning.
Well, it's so nice of you to join us today. She's on her way to go out for her first mushroom hunting expedition, and she went out of her way to make sure that she would have phone service so she could talk to us today. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem. I love talking mushrooms.
Well, but before we talk about mushrooms, I'm going to ask you a question that I'm sure you probably never thought of. Me and Fred were just beginning of the show talking about what our names are backwards. His name is Cram Nibot. No, I'm Cram Nibot. He's Derf Yasmir or Yasmar. Have you ever thought about what your name is backwards?
No, and I think that's crazy. Maybe you're doing the wrong kind of mushroom.
That could be. Before we talk about mushrooms, you got to do something. You got to check off one of the things on your bucket list. And I was talking to you about that, and this is on my bucket list, too, and that's why I wanted you to talk a little bit about it, because it just sounded so cool, and you did a lot of research into this. But this is the Northern Lights. Can you tell me about that experience?
Oh, my gosh. You know, for anybody who loves fireworks, the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis, is exceedingly the best. We were in Fairbanks, Alaska, and in Fairbanks, it was like watching the fireworks. From, you know, we used to do Parkville all the time. It'd be like from watching them from up on the hill at Wrist Lake or something. But when you get out to Chena, which is a little resort that has, you're right underneath them, like you're sitting on the river and they're just blowing them off right above you. Mm. And it is so spectacular, you just cannot imagine. And you can see the movement of the particles and it's really, really cold, but the experience is just fabulous.
So where was it exactly? Where's the best place to view it? What was the name of that town?
Chena.
Chena.
C-H-E-N-A. And they have hot springs there, which is how it started. So you walk out in 33-degree below zero weather out to the hot springs in your swimsuit and get into,
really,
you know, this very warm, beautiful water, and you don't even realize how cold it is outside, and there's snow banks and ice all around you.
Wow.
It's a great experience.
Well, cool.
You know, don't expect fancy lodging, but we had fabulous food. John ate halibut, and I had king crab leg crab cakes. And I'm telling you, it was a fabulous experience. But what I learned before I went was it's always better close to the solstice. I don't know why, but that's just what I read. And it's, you know, if you can get dark, dark skies, that's better. So we planned our trip around the no moon. And you have to plan at least 4 or 5 days because they're not guaranteed to show up.
Hmm. Wow.
It takes a certain kind of sun activity. So we planned for a week, and it takes, from Missouri, it takes a full day to get there and a day and a half to get back because of the time change. And because you're up most of the night to watch them, you got to sleep and plan for, you know, the day. And there's still fun things to do. So it can be exhausting, but we had a fabulous time.
Well, cool.
And so, our Canadian friends taught us a long time ago, because we fish up in Michigan in the winter when we do sport shows up there, that it's Never bad weather. It's just bad clothing.
That's awesome.
Sitka gear country.
Well,
so yeah, we wore the gear and it was just awesome. Yeah.
Well, Teresa, I also have, aside from fishing, I have a lawn care business. And in the spring, when the yellow flowers, the dandelions start to flower, for most of my life, that's a bad thing. People don't like them, and I get people calling one of
them
gone. Well, and you've taught me I look at them a little differently now than I used to. And that is because, why?
Because when they're in all three stages, you're guaranteed to go out and find morels.
There you go.
So buds, blooms, and spent blooms?
Yep.
It's that time then.
That is right.
Because it's happening
and
right now here.
Tobin, something wrong
with
you.
Oh, it's perfect.
Something wrong
with
you.
Well, I got some pictures from a friend in Warsaw, and he's picking old blacks and new yellows.
Wow.
So,
wow.
In Warsaw. So they're up, but I kind of wanted to talk about where to hunt, because that's the biggest problem people
Absolutely.
Have now. And they make it so secretive, and it just doesn't have to be that way. And the problem with that is it changes every single year because the trees change. Morels come up because trees are dying. That is their connection to the world. And they shoot up the morels to spread their spore into other parts of the woods. So once that tree root material is fully dead, that food source is gone, the morels are not going to be at that tree,
mm-hmm.
so you have to keep moving through the woods. But what I wanted to tell people is, you know, we're very lucky that Missouri State Parks are open for mushroom hunters. Kansas is a little more particular, although you can talk to, you know, the people at the park, and some of them will be yay and some will go, no, you can't do that. But all the DNR land that people turkey hunt on, deer hunt on, bunny hunt on, dove hunt on, that all that land is available to mushroom hunters as well. And because you fish, you know, around all of the core lakes, there are no restrictions to mushroom hunters. And if you can park your boat along a tributary or a creek bed and walk up that, you know, your chances of getting morels are very good because they flood and because your trees, like your elm trees, grow along them, your sycamore trees, your cottonwood, or your river birch, and those are all really good tree types for morels. So the city parks are good as well, and even Shawnee finally opened up that park for mushroom hunters. So don't think that it's a big deal, a big secret. You know, I've told people for years where I go because I never know if I get to go back.
It's true. How many books you got out on this?
Just one, because it has everything you need to know.
Okay.
It doesn't change.
Okay.
You know, we had a friend in Illinois who does a big hunt over there, and he makes walking sticks and some other great things. His mm-hmm. name is Tom Nauman, Morel Mania, and he's got great fun products if you like having that stuff around the house. And anyway, Tom and I were having a discussion. This has been 15 years ago at least, maybe longer. And he was going to write a book about the hunting mushrooms in different places. And I go, what are you talking about? It's the same wherever you go. Even if you go burn hunt, it's the same thing. You know, it has to do with temperature. It has to do with the trees dying. And it's no different anywhere you go. But the timing is different because just like in gardening or lawn care, spring starts further south and it works its way north about 100 to 200 miles a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a perfect setup this spring. We
sure
didn't
have.
Get any of that super hot March weather.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it rained really good early, and then we've had a dry spell, and now it's raining again. And in about a week's time, Kansas City ought to be having just really beautiful big mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was talking to a friend in Michigan, and he said he had a handful of little black morels, and I said, you know, if you'd have left them in the ground, walked away, marked the spot with your GPS, and gone back a week later, you could have had a panful instead of a handful.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me like, well, I thought they just popped up. I go, they don't pop up, you silly man. They grow like everything else grows.
They sure do.
So how long does it take for a mushroom to reach its maximum size?
You know, in clinical studies, it's easy to say 10 days. But when you're out in the wilderness where you've had dry weather and wind, and now we have rains, this rain can make them grow exponentially to their full potential. In 2 days, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But it's because you have different circumstances. They don't need the sunlight. They need warm night temperatures, which we're having, and they need rain because they're over 90% moisture.
Yeah. I guess I was talking to some guys just came back from Oklahoma, and they were hound dog. They were disappointed. They generally go down there and pick 70, 80 pounds down through there, and they said they found 7 pounds, 100 for 4 days. So I guess they just didn't have the moisture down that way, the way it sounds to me like.
Well, and it changes from year to year. Mm-hmm. They could have just had a bad year, or they could have been, if they've been using plastic bags instead of mesh collection bags or baskets, mm-hmm. they could have wiped out their area.
Could have.
You know, it takes a couple years to wipe out an area. They have basically a 5-year life cycle in the laboratory, but in nature it can change up. And if they've been using bags in that same area, plastic bags, they could have taken all the spore out of the environment, and now there's nothing left.
And when you pick them, should you pick them or cut them? Should you leave roots? What's the best way to do that?
Well, they don't have roots. They're connected to mycelia, which is kind of interesting that it's kind of like the cable network of the Internet. It's everywhere under the soil and in the soil, and it's all connected to the trees. It's interesting because the morels don't have to come up. They come up in adverse conditions in general, like I said, when a tree is dying. Or they can come up in their natural cycle where you'll get a onesie and you'll go, what the heck is that all about? Mm-hmm. But if you're using a plastic bag, literally, you're destroying your own areas. And I know people think it's just because we want to sell bags. Well, that's stupid. We don't make any money on them. It's just, get you a potato sack if you're too cheap to buy a real nice one, or a little laundry bag that's mesh, because it lets the spore out while you're walking around. And I always tell people, if you carried a banana around in a plastic bag all day, what would happen to it? It would be black and gross. That's what you're doing to your mushrooms. You're working hard to find them.
Yeah.
Don't mess them up.
Yeah.
What can you find mushrooms? We've had some bluffs over there that caught on fire this year and burn off during that dry period. Can you find mushrooms there?
Well, you can. The thing about a burn, and we've picked commercially lots of years out west, and we have another trip planned this year for Eastern Wyoming, Western Colorado. What happens in a burn is, and it can happen in a flood, or it can also happen where heavy equipment has rolled over the ground, like disrupted it.
Mm-hmm.
The underground organism feels threatened, so it shoots up a lot of morels just for survival. But if you have a fast burn that just basically takes off the grass, that's not typical. It's when you get a long, deep burn over, typically in the fall, where it hits the roots, mm-hmm. the trees, all of the small brush. Then following spring is when you'll get mushrooms. So it really has to be a burn, typically in the fall, that happens that you get the mushrooms in the spring. But I would never hesitate to look.
Yeah, we'll go look.
You know, if you go in and you spend 10, 15 minutes and you don't see anything, then they're not there.
I got a little sidetracked. Do you cut yours or pull them?
We cut ours. You don't want to pull them, and here's why. If we get a season that lasts a long time, we typically don't. But if you can have nice weather and you're a cutter, you can go back to the same area, and on that same mycelia strand, you might get a couple smaller ones, because they're having to reproduce. That's the whole business of the mushroom. And so you can find more on that same mycelia strand, like a week later. the weather holds.
You just take a knife or a pair of scissors, or?
Oh, you can take a picnic knife. You know, they're hollow. It's not hard to cut them. We carry little pocket knives, and they don't let me carry anything any bigger because I blew out my knee years ago, and if I fall, I could kill myself. So I usually just carry a little short knife that can't hurt me.
Mark, don't
but
you carry a knife.
It doesn't take much. I mean, once you get started cutting, the nice thing about cutting, you don't get any dirt in your bag because you're cutting them clean, and it goes really fast, and you just get a nicer product.
There's so
okay. One thing I wanted to ask, Mark, I'm sorry I stepped on you. I have people that are scared to death of mushrooms. They think they're going to eat a poisonous. I'm going to eat a poisonous one. I'm going to end up in an emergency room in a coma somewhere. What's the reality of that?
The reality is people in Russia, Prussia, Poland, that region of the world, they come here and live in the United States. And typically in California, this is where it happens a lot, is there's a mushroom that looks just like a mushroom they've picked their whole lives, but the DNA is completely different, and therefore they end up killing their whole families.
Ooh.
Because they have a lifelong habit of mushroom hunting. I tell people if you start with morels, all morels are safe. And there's five varieties, despite what the conservation department says. There are three types of white varieties. It is not one variety. And they change up by temperature, and they're all fine. There are very, very few people who have an incident with them. No one has ever died from eating a morel. If you get a tummy ache, it's probably because you used too much butter and ate too many at one time. But they do have to be fully cooked. Now, there is a beefsteak mushroom that a lot of people in Missouri still eat, and the problem with it is it's more brain-like and red-colored. Mm-hmm. If it's red, you could be dead. It doesn't instantly kill somebody. But the toxin that it is in it accumulates, and then people, it happens a lot here in the Ozarks because they're abundant here and there are not as many morels here because of the soil, but and the oak trees. But they die in their 60s and they don't know why. Well, it's the accumulation of that toxin.
So I
never recommend anybody start with toadstools because they're the hardest to identify. And so if you want to pick other varieties, you start with morels, get real familiar with them, know how to handle them and know what to do with them, and always cook them, of course. And then some of the tree varieties like the oysters, chicken of the woods, hen of the woods, those are all very good and very safe. And don't venture off into toadstools until you have a lot of confidence that you know how to identify a mushroom and make sure that you check the spore, check the gills, check the stem, you know, all the different parts, and don't eat them until you're positive. So we just stay away from toadstool types.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mentioned
just easier.
You mentioned all the different places that we can hunt mushrooms. Now, when you're going to a new place that you haven't hunted before, what are you looking for? What to you looks like a good spot? Just driving down the road, what catches your attention?
Oh, boy, I'm good at that. I like the areas that have the light gray tree barks to white tree barks because those are your softer hardwoods and your poplar and birch varieties. And those are all really, really good types of trees that morels like. And any of your flowering trees, fruiting trees, they're also very good. And then if there's a stream, that helps because particularly here in the Ozark area, those kind of trees only grow on the streams. But it gives you an indication of water. If the water's good and plentiful, you know you're going to find bigger mushrooms. If the creek beds are dry, you know you're going to find withered kind of mushrooms. It's just the way it is. And make sure it's public property so you're not doing anything illegal, because if you're on somebody's private property, you're stealing, and you can get in trouble.
Exactly.
Once you've finally gotten some, what's the best way to store them till you cook them, and how long will they keep before you have to cook them?
You can keep them up to a full week and push that a little bit if you individually wrap them in cheap toilet paper. My John brought him all the way home from Alaska that way, and he drove, so you can imagine.
Wow.
And it was a big chore to do, but it was worth it.
Gosh.
But typically, if we get a nice batch, we'll bring them home. I'll put them in either in a bowl with paper towels, a glass bowl with paper towels between layers, or we'll put them in paper sacks and put them in the fridge. And they'll be fine. You know, they'll keep for a couple of days that way. And do not wash them until right before you're ready to cook them.
I'm sorry, I cut out. Should you soak them in salt water?
Absolutely not. That is an old wives' tale,
okay.
And think about it.
Mm-hmm.
In the 70s, Grandma, if the boys brought home a bird, a bunny, a fish, you soaked it in salt water. So she just assumed mm-hmm. that you would do the same thing to mushrooms, because
exactly.
that's when all the dead elms started happening because of the Dutch elm disease. So that was logical to Grandma, but science has all proven that all you get are salty, mushy mushrooms, because the salt deteriorates the cellular structure of them. So only clean them right before you're ready to cook them. And what we do is we cut them into ringlets, separating caps and stems, rinse them in a colander real good, and pat them dry. And we cook the stems starting first because they're a heavier texture.
Good
idea. And then put the caps in. And when they start to snap like bacon, you know that popping sound bacon makes? That's
mm-hmm.
how you know when they're done.
I'm salivating.
Teresa, we are out of radio time. How do they get your book?
Oh, darn.
I know.
It's on Amazon, and you can buy it at Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble.
And go to our Facebook page. You'll see it there also. Yes.
Thank you for disrupting your day and joining us here on air. We appreciate you more than you know.
You're such a great guest. Guys,
you call anytime.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you, Teresa.
You are a wonderful human.
That was too quick. Way too quick.
Oh, thank you.
You're a wonderful
person.
We'll
do it again.
Yes,
right,
definitely. Well, thank you, and happy hunting.
All right.
You
Another
too.
Mushroom. Okay,
yeah.
Teresa, thank you so much.
Bye.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark, we're about out of time here. I wanted to mention something that happened to me. I got to hang out a little bit, not near enough, with Trev and Reed this week up at Reed Chevrolet. I don't think I've ever met a nicer person, a person that cares about his customers.
I've had the honor of visiting with Trevin.
Unbelievable.
And that's where it starts with him and everybody there at Reed Chevrolet. Just such an easy way to buy a vehicle. And, you know, it's a major investment. And you owe it to yourself to drive up there and visit with those good folks up there.
28 minutes north of KCI, and you'll be in St. Joe at Frederick Avenue, Reed Chevrolet. They'll treat you like they've known you for about 146 years if you're that old. You kind of look old here lately, Mark. You've noticed that?
No.
But anyway, go by and see the guy. They're getting some inventory. And they'll do everything they can to get you the dream truck of your dream. So good humans. Love them to death. Can't say enough good things about them. Anyway, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. I got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.
Be safe in the woods and go get Teresa's book, Teresa Mabry, Morel Hunting. Have a good week.
All right, bye-bye.
So long, everybody.